chapter 5, beginning at verse 14. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. I have discovered that there is an amazing amount of confusion among Christians regarding the will of God, particularly the will of God for their lives. For instance, one thing that we've all seen and heard is that a lot of preachers feel led to go south and preach in the winter. Have you ever heard that? And some preachers feel led to take a bigger church. Have you ever heard that? That happens. And so they make it a matter of prayer. Is it the will of God that I take this larger church? Is it the will of God that I go south into warmer weather in the winter? And some of them have gone so far as to pray, is it the will of God that I leave my wife for a prettier one? Yeah, they do that. That's the world we're living in. A questionnaire was done by somebody and sent out to 5,000 people. And in this survey, they found that the two top most vital questions people ask and want the answer to are these. Where are we in Bible prophecy? You know, when the new convert comes to the Lord, he wants to master the book of Revelation the first week. So the number one question was, where are we in Bible prophecy? But only a few votes behind, or questions behind, or numbers behind that question was another one. How can I know the will of God for my life? The number two question out of the 5,000 questionnaires that were sent out, the number two question, almost tying for first place, was how can I know the will of God for my life? Common feelings are expressed everywhere, from time to time. I hear them all the time. People ask, does Jesus have a perfect will for my life? Can I find that perfect will of God for my life? Why does it seem so hard for us to find the will of God for our lives? And then people ask, what if I fail to find the will of God for my life? Well, I would like to say this, right? At the beginning, God's will is not some hard to find, difficult to interpret puzzle that he is deliberately keeping from us until we seek him long enough. Amen. My wife has done it this way. The will of God is not some matter in a sealed envelope that he is holding out here and tantalizing us with, teasing us with, and saying, oh, if you run fast enough and leap, maybe you can get a hold of my will and I'll reveal it to you. And it's in here. And he just keeps a few steps ahead of us, a few yards ahead of us, and we just can't seem to find the will of God for our lives. No, God does not tantalize us regarding his will. And God's will is not a mystery. God's will for your life is not a mystery. Yet many people are sincere, very sincere, in wanting the will of God for their lives. How many want the will of God for their lives? How many of you want to do the will of God? How many of you feel that if you knew the will of God, you would be very happy to do it? All right. Praise the Lord. One thing that I have found is that most of us would like to have a burning wish experience. We'd like to go out in the wilderness somewhere, or the mountainside, and see a bush burning and not consumed like Moses did. And then we'd like to take the shoes off our feet, draw near to that bush, and hear a voice speak to us and tell us what God wants us to do for our lives. Right? We all want a burning bush experience. We all want to hear an audible voice. We all want to see the writing on the wall or writing in the sky. We all want to hear the voice of God. We all want to see smoke and hear thunder and see lightning. Ooh, that's exciting. Now I know what God wants me to do, and there's no doubt about it because I heard it, I saw it. Amen. Now, God has, in the past, supernaturally revealed His will in special cases. Some of us are, what should I say, arrogant enough to insist on being a special case. I said God has supernaturally revealed His will in times past. For example, Saul, who became the Apostle Paul, was knocked to the earth and heard a voice from heaven saying, "I am Jesus." And we could go on and on here, and let's turn maybe to Acts 26 for just a moment of explanation. Verse 15, "And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith which is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision." Praise the Lord. And then in Acts chapter 16, back up to Acts chapter 16, and read verse 9. "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering, knowing for sure that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." And they took action upon Paul's seeing that vision. Acts chapter 23. Acts chapter 23. Look at verse 11. "And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." That was said to Paul when 40 men were conspiring to kill him, and he heard from the Lord. And we'd all like to hear from the Lord that way. But what did Paul do between those times when he saw visions, had dreams, or heard the voice of the Lord? Didn't he just go right ahead and preach the gospel? Didn't he just go ahead and establish churches? Yeah. He didn't hear a voice every time he established a church. He just knew what to do and he did it. You may be asking the question, how can I know the will of God for my life? Now, you know this is a very interesting subject because we have multitudes of people today who are reading the daily horoscope, and they are going to the witch or the fortune teller. That same thing, isn't it? And they're having somebody read the empty cup with the tea sediment on the bottom, the tea leaves. They're going to a handwriting analyst to have their handwriting written. They're going to the fortune teller. They're going to the Ouija board because people are so interested in knowing their future and the will of God for their lives. And a lot of that stuff just makes me laugh myself sick. Because Gene Dixon, for instance, is supposed to be able to tell events before they take place, predict them before they happen. Well, she has an 80% record of success. I would hate to place my future on 80% when I can have the Bible and have 100%. So how foolish to read Jean Dixon or some other witch or fortune teller. Sorry, folks. Now, if we insist on a supernatural revelation of God's will for us, we open ourselves to spiritual deception. Oh God, speak to me. Oh God, write it on the wall. Oh God, flash lightning and roar with thunder so I can know your will. I repeat myself, if we insist on a supernatural revelation of God's will for our lives, we open ourselves to spiritual deception. Now, if somebody did have a supernatural revelation of God's will for their life, I could judge it, I think, whether or not they really heard from God or something else. Here's one way, just off the top of my head, that I would judge whether or not they heard from God, and that would be this. Did that supernatural experience humble them? Or did that supernatural experience cause them to boast? I saw the writing. I heard the voice. Me. I'd say, I don't think he heard from the God that I know. The God that I know says, humble yourselves, and I'll lift you up. You don't have to lift yourself up. He'll do it. Praise the Lord. Also, what about, and some of you haven't lived through that era, the abuse of laying on of hands and personal prophecies. How many are acquainted with those phrases? Laying on of hands? That's in the New Testament. Now how many are acquainted with that phrase? Okay. How many read the New Testament through? It's in the New Testament. The laying on of hands. And that was a big thing a few years ago. In the beginning of the latter rain, they called it, in about 1948, and for a few years there. And they got into personal prophecies, which are fine if they are real. But I have, and my wife has, a personal friend down in Fredericksburg, Texas, who went to a certain church in another city in Texas, a larger church, and the prophets called them forward and laid their hands on them according to the scripture and prophesied over them, did a personal prophecy over them, and these were elderly people at that time, probably a little older at that time than my wife and I are right now at this time. They laid their hands on them and they prophesied over them. And they said that your ministry is not over, but prepare yourselves because the Lord has called you to foreign soil and you will set your feet on foreign soil and you will preach this glorious gospel on foreign soil. And she got sick and died. And then husband quit the church. And I don't blame him. I would too. Because you got a false prophet in the church. The judgment that God says we make on those prophets are whether or not their prophecies come true. So when somebody says this is going to happen and it doesn't happen, they're false. They didn't hear from God. They didn't speak from God. I also know of another personal prophecy that went over an adulteress. Quote, thou shalt be given all nine gifts of the Spirit, multitudes shall fall down before thee and repent of their sins. I never did believe that personal prophecy. And I know this person and it's never come to pass. You don't live in adultery and hear nice things like that from God. When you're living in adultery, all you're going to hear from God is repent, repent, repent. What did you say, Lord? I said repent, repent, repent. That's all you're going to hear is repent. You're not going to hear, after you repent, I'm going to bless you with this and do this for you. And after you, or if you, oh no, you're not going to hear that. It's going to be repent, or else. Right?
Amen.
Right. I think I can judge a personal prophecy pretty well because I read some in the Bible. There's one given over the Apostle Paul, you know. Jesus to Ananias. I will show him how great things he must suffer. When I hear personal prophecies and there's no suffering involved, I get suspicious. Very suspicious. Because the Lord seems to honor suffering. We cringe from the word. Listen to the angel, to Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist. He said, the angel to Zacharias, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. Now doesn't that sound good? He shall be great. You know how he was great? Among those born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. He had a long preparation for his ministry and a very brief few months of ministry. And he had his head cut off from his body. God said, ah, he's great. He's great. What about Antipas in the book of Revelation? How great the Lord Jesus thought that he was because he suffered martyrdom for the name of the Lord. Oh, we want to hear the voice from heaven, and we want to read the lightning streaking through the sky and telling us wonderful things, and we want to hear that we're going to have 9 gifts of the Spirit, and we want to hear that we're going to be worldwide famous evangelists. Oh yeah, we love to hear it, but we don't want to hear about the suffering that we'll go through for the name of Jesus. We don't want to hear what Paul heard. No wonder God dealt with him supernaturally. No wonder we don't. I don't think I should say what I just thought. I will show him how great things he must suffer. When I don't hear words like that included in a personal prophecy, I have extreme doubts about the validity of the prophecy. I really do. You see, being great in the sight of God and being great in the sight of man are 2 different things. To be great in the sight of man would be to be a great world-known evangelist, tele-evangelist, if you please. That's great in the sight of the world. To bring in millions of dollars and have a air-conditioned doghouse for your pet, you know, that's great in the eyes of man. But not in the sight of God.
Amen.
You know what was great in the sight of God? That John the Baptist would give his head. You know what was great in the sight of God? That the Apostle Paul would be whipped 195 times and that he would be shipwrecked and that he would be beaten with rods and that he would be imprisoned and remain faithful to him. Amen. You want to know the will of God for your life? I'm telling you about the will of God for your life tonight. God considers our sufferings very great and rewardable. The Bible says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Revelation 2:10, Jesus to the church at Smyrna, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Did I not say that suffering is rewardable? Suffering for the name of the Lord. Amen. And it's great in the sight of the Lord. We want to know the will of God, and some people find guidance through that inner voice. What's the inner voice? I don't have a whole lot of scripture for this. But Jesus did say, my sheep know my voice. My sheep hear my voice. I would say this. We need to practice hearing the voice of God so that we can tell when it's God and when it's not God.
That's good.
Turn right at the next corner and go to the third house on the left. There's a man waiting there to hear the gospel, and you are the messenger to bring it to him. So you turn the corner and you look on the left, and there's only two houses in the block. So how can you go to the third house? So you missed it. But let's say you heard the voice again, and there was a person waiting to hear the gospel, and you brought them to the Lord. You heard it right, you heard it wrong. Now you have to learn which one of those voices is right and which one of those voices is wrong. My sheep know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not hear. The Lord's not going to tell you to go somewhere that ain't. He's not going to send you somewhere that doesn't exist. Right? Right. Amen. But some people have learned to hear that inner voice, and it works fine if it works. But be careful that you are hearing the voice of the Good Shepherd only. And remember, when you hear it, what he says must be within the framework of Holy Scripture. He'll never tell you to rob a bank. That's not God's voice. He'll never tell you to steal, cheat, lie, anything like that. That's never God's voice. Never, never, never. Amen. Because his word is already established. Some people find guidance waiting on God. And one man says God has at least three answers when we ask. He'll say yes, or he'll say no, or he'll say wait. And so, however you feel about that, but we do need to wait on the Lord. And sometimes the Lord will show us special things. And that's fine. I believe in that. But the Word of God itself is the foundation of all guidance. And some people have even abused that. I have a little note I found here that I wrote myself a long time ago, seeking the will of God. Some people never seem to learn. One man who sought God's will did so by closing his eyes tightly with his Bible before him on the table. Then he turned the pages. He put his finger down on a certain spot. Have you ever heard about that? Maybe some of us have done it. He would open the Bible very expectantly and place his finger on a certain spot on the page. Then he opened his eyes and he read Matthew 27:5. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And the man said, Oh, I'm going to try this again. And so he opened a few more pages and he put his finger down. And he opened to Luke 10:37. And he said, he that showed mercy on him, then said Jesus unto him, go thou and do likewise. So the first time he put his finger down, it says he departed and went and hanged himself. The second time he put his finger down on another scripture, he hit the scripture that says, go and do thou likewise. He didn't like that either. So he closed his eyes tightly again, opened some other pages of Scripture, turned to John 13:27, where Jesus said, that thou doest, do quickly. I think he missed the will of God. So we can find the will of God sometimes through the inner voice, through waiting on God, and through the Word of God. I said the Bible is the foundation of all guidance. The Bible is the will of God. And I would like for you to turn here with me tonight to Mark chapter 3, and then open your Bible to Luke chapter 8. I want to show you something that I have discovered in the Scripture, and I think it'll be revelatory for all of us. Mark chapter 3, beginning at verse 31. There came then his brethren and his mother, and standing without, sent unto him, calling him. And the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. And he answered them, saying, who is my mother or my brethren? And he looked round about on them which sat about him, and said, behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and mother. Do you want to be related to Jesus? do the will of God. That's what he said. Whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and mother. We must find the will of God. We must find the will of God. Turn to Luke chapter 8. Verse 19. Then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press. And it was told him by certain which said, Thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to see thee. And he answered and said unto them, My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. In Mark 3 we read, they that do the will of God. And in Luke 8:21 we read, which hear the word of God and do it. So, here's the secret. The word of God is the will of God. The Word of God, the Bible, is the will of God for your life. Amen. You can't get away from it. That's the will of God.
That's right.
Therefore, if you are not saved, you don't need to get knocked off your camel. You don't need to hear an audible voice. You don't need to read lightning in the sky. You don't need to hear thunder and see smoke and a voice from heaven saying, Repent! The Bible already says, repent. You don't need to hear a voice from heaven saying, and be baptized in Jesus' name. Because the Bible already says, repent and be baptized in Jesus' name. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Friend, you're asking for too much. It's already written. And our disobedience is known in heaven between God and the holy angels. So if you are not saved tonight, you don't need any supernatural means of knowing the will of God. The will of God is for you to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. It's the will of God for you to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives utterance. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to pray about it. It's already the established will of God. My wife and I have some dear friends that are not in our Pentecostal oneness persuasion. And we have tried desperately to bring them into more truth, especially the truth of baptism in Jesus' name, oneness of the Godhead. I convinced a man one time that he should be baptized over again. This time in the name of Jesus Christ. He believed it. He wept in my presence. He told his wife, and he wanted me to come and talk to his wife. When I did, she was ready for me. She said, I prayed about it, and Jesus told me I don't have to be baptized in his name. They're still not baptized in Jesus' name. And if they die that way, they're going to stand before God in judgment and face not what she heard apart from the Scripture, but what she read in the Scripture. No voice is authentic that disagrees with the Holy Scripture. Amen. It's God's will for everybody to be saved. He's not willing that any perish, but that all come to repentance. And he's not willing that any are not baptized right. And he's not willing that any go without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He died for these things. These things are written, recorded forever in Holy Scripture, settled forever in heaven. You don't have to pray about it any more than you have to pray about, should I rob this bank or not? Amen. Amen. If you are saved, Ephesians chapter 5 has something for us. Verse 17, Wherefore be ye not unwise, that's our text tonight, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Here's the will of the Lord. Don't be drunk with wine or in his excess. This is the will of the Lord, that you are filled with the Spirit. This is the will of the Lord, that you speak to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Here's the will of the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the will of God, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. This is the will of God, ladies. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. This is the will of God. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He's the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Ladies, you just found out the will of God for your domestic life. Husbands, here's the will of God for you. Love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. And that's a heap of love, let me tell you. And gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. We're talking about the will of God tonight. How about 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3? For this is the will of God. You don't have to be doubtful about the will of God. Here it is in the Holy Scriptures. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. You never have to pray about fornication or pray about adultery or pray about extramarital, premarital, or postmarital affairs. No! This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. How about 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15? See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good. That's the will of God, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. That's the will of God. Pray without ceasing. That's the will of God. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. That's the will of God. We already read it, our sanctification. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Now we're starting to learn what the will of God is for our individual lives. The big problem, saints of God, is not finding the will of God. The big problem is obeying the will of God. Where in the Bible do you read about finding the will of God? All I read in the Bible is obeying the will of God. You don't read about finding the will of God. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. The will of God is already revealed. Our part is to obey it, is to do it, is to keep it. Praise the Lord. Was I in the will of God when I went to International Bible College in 1945 and graduated in 1949? Was I in the will of God when I left Eau Claire in the assembly here and got on the and went over to the Foot Locker factory over by the Randall Street? Used to be the swimming place in Eau Claire. And was I in the will of God when I went over there and said, make me a Foot Locker? Watched them naked, paid the $7 for the Foot Locker, and loaded it down and checked it in at the counter at the Greyhound bus depot. And a young teenager, I got on the bus and I went off to San Antonio, Texas. Was I in the will of God when I went to Bible college? Why didn't I go to ABI? How did I know the difference? Oh, I got to find the will of God. Am I supposed to go to IBC or ABI? The will of God is not mysterious. I'll tell you what the will of God is. I think it's 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. If you're not in a Bible college tonight, you're not out of the will of God. But if you're not studying the Scripture, you are out of the will of God. You don't have to pray about what Bible school to go to. Study the Scripture, whether you're in this Bible school or that Bible school or no Bible school. Study the Scripture. That's the will of God. How many think I'm right on there?
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Was I in the will of God when I married this lovely young lady, Anita Burns, in 1950? Was I in the will of God when I married her? Or did God have another woman for me? I met a few in Louisiana and some more in Texas, a couple in Pennsylvania, and oh, I had to get down and fast and pray and rend my clothes and sit in sackcloth and ashes. God, I gotta have the right woman. Well, if you're doing that tonight and you're still single, let me tell you something. God is screaming at you from heaven. Whosoever findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. If you want a wife, go find one, God says. That's the word of God. You don't have to pray for one. Find one. That's what God said. How many know I'm right? That's right. We make this thing too mystical, too mysterious. We make the will of God something out here. I want your will, Lord. Which woman is it, Lord? There are some things that are already written and recorded in the scripture. Do you know what Paul taught? You said that's in the Old Testament. What did Paul teach in the New Testament? He's talking about marriage. A certain situation, of course, but let that be. Listen, Paul said, she is free, or he is free to marry whomsoever he will, only in the Lord. See, the guideline is already given in the scripture. You don't have to know what Bible school to go to. Just go study the Bible. If you're not in Bible school tonight and you're not studying the scripture, you're wrong. If you're in Bible school and not studying the scripture, you're wrong. Follow me? Doesn't matter where you are, it's what you do where you are. You don't have to do like I said to get approval for a wife from the Lord. He has the guidelines already given in the scripture. Only in the Lord. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You don't even have to pray about, Lord, should I marry this girl? Is she going to get saved after I marry her? Lord, should I marry that man? He's really good looking. He's got a lot of money too. I wonder, Lord, which... You don't have to. Find one that's good looking to you, and one that can bless you in your ministry or your call in this life, whatever you're going to do, whatever your plans are, let the Lord bless you. Praise the Lord. Was I in the will of God when I accepted the pastorate of this church? I believe I was in the will of God when I went to Bible school. Not because I went to a certain place, but because I studied the scripture. I believe I was could have been in the will of God if I had stayed right here and studied the scripture. I believe I would be in the will of God even if I didn't ever get married. Because Jesus talked about that too. I believe I'd been in the will of God if I'd have married some other woman. My wife would have been in the will of God if she married some other man. That's not the point. The point is, I liked her. I thought she was awfully cute. And she played the piano. One key, all the black ones, F sharp. That's the only key she knew. And I liked it. And I just liked her. And, you know, you look the available over and you come back home and you say, I want her. And we got married. And we're still in the will of God because we're serving God together. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Was I in the will of God when I accepted the pastor of this church? I would have been in the will of God if I had stayed at Thorpe. I would have been in the will of God if I went to California. Let me tell you something. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Boy, that gives me a lot of liberty. That tells me that I can still go to the mission field and whatever I do will be prospered. But I can't divorce my wife and marry another woman and prosper because I'm not delighting myself in the law of the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
What about witnessing? I want to be like Philip when I witness. I want to hear a voice say, go join yourself to that chariot. Go knock on that door. Go to that booth and witness to that person. I want to be like Philip. Yeah, sure you do. How do you know but what Philip was about to neglect that person on the chariot? He was thinking about the big city and the big campaign. How do you know but what the Lord had to say to him? Hey, Philip, I'm interested in every creature. Go join yourself to that chariot. I don't know if that's the case, but it sure goes through my mind that that's a possibility. And so, when you go in the restaurant, you can pray for the people in there. You can pray for the waitresses and so on. But don't pray, Lord, shall I witness today? Is it your will, Lord, that I witness to this waitress? It's already written, it's his will. You're out of the will of God if you don't witness. Every time you go to a restaurant and don't witness, you're out of the will of God. Uh-oh, that went over like a lead.
That's true, amen.
Amen.
I have a whole lot more to say. I'm going to cut it short pretty soon, but I have a little more to say before I cut it short. Did you get all that? So I go witness to somebody. I just felt like it. And he got saved. And I said, it must have been God's will. So I go and witness to somebody else and they don't get saved. And I say, it must have not been God's will. Wrong. This gospel shall be preached in all the world for a witness. Not that everybody would believe, not that everybody would be saved, but that everybody would hear so they could be judged for accepting or rejecting. Huh? Okay. Praise the Lord. The will of God is already revealed. It's our part to do it. Some people play with this will of God thing, just like I've already exposed tonight. And I've had several say to me, I wonder what the will of God is. I got to pray through on this and get the will of God. Certain thing. I said, well, sir, my colleague, my preacher friend, are you in the will of God right now? And the last one said, well, I feel that I am. I said, have you witnessed today? He said, no. I said, you're out of the will of God then. He said, well, the day's not over. I said, well, let me ask you another question. Are you perfect? Well, no. I said, then you're out of the will of God because he said, be perfect. Hello? How many of you are in the will of God tonight? How many of you are perfect? If you're not perfect, you're not in the will of God. Boy, how's he going to talk himself out of that one? Don't anybody leave, and I'll tell you. Could we say it this way? God's will for your life is a goal, not a blueprint.
That's good.
Let that sink in. God's will for your life is a goal, not a blueprint. I think this should help us. What is the goal? Perfection. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Therefore, it's a goal to be striven for. What is perfection? If you were just like Jesus, wouldn't you be able to lift your hand and say, I'm perfect? To lift your hand and say, I'm perfect, if you're like Jesus, is confessing that Jesus is perfect. Is Jesus perfect? Then if I'm like Jesus, I'm perfect. I've reached my goal. Friend, we're going to reach that goal. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know this. When we see Him, we shall be like Him. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. A goal is a point we're trying to reach. Amen. Our goal sets our direction. Okay, so here's the goal. We don't go this way, we're out of the will of God. So, in that sense, when we're going this way, we're in the will of God. Because we are reaching forth toward the goal, perfection, the ultimate will of God for our lives. Follow me? If you start going this way, when God says, this is the way to perfection, we're out of the will of God. If we stay in that straight and narrow path, we're in the will of God as we strive for perfection. Praise the Lord. Now, guidance is a lifelong process. So the will of God isn't something you wait to be revealed to you so you can know what to do with your life. You already know what to do. You already know what to do right now. God has a will for you right this minute. I believe it's God's will that you're here hearing the Word of God preached. I believe that's God's will. I believe you're in the will of God as far as that is concerned goes. Okay? So God, by you being here, is helping us toward that goal. That's why he says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. So by obedience of assembling assembling yourselves together here tonight, you are in the will of God. Because he's helping us through being here get closer to that goal. Amen. Praise the Lord. God's will for you right now, it's God's will for us to pray tonight. Don't you think so? Don't you think it's God's will for us to come to this altar and cry out to Him or kneel at our chairs and cry out to Him? Don't you think that's God? Does anybody have another will from God? God says, I don't want you to pray tonight. I want you to go to McDonald's and skip prayer tonight. Did anybody here think that that would be God's will? No. Don't you think it's God's will that you pray? How many are going to do God's will tonight and pray? See? See, you have a choice to do the will of God or reject the will of God. And when you don't pray, you're rejecting the will of God. When you do pray, you're doing the will of God. It's God's will for us to worship tonight. We worship. There's a beautiful spirit of worship here. It's still here. I feel it. That's God's will, that we worship Him. It's never God's will when we sit there in the molly grub and hang our heads and, what'd somebody say? We wear suspenders on our bottom lip so we don't walk on it. You know, somebody just said that here. It's God's will that we worship Him tonight. So when you lifted your hands and when you praised Him from your heart and spirit and in truth, you were in the will of God. It's God's will for us to leave this place and live lives tomorrow and pray tomorrow and seek God tomorrow so that we are mortifying the deeds of the flesh. That's God's will. That's God's will. That we cut off the desires of the flesh. We're in the will of God when we do that. When we say no to temptation. When we refuse to sin. That's the will of God. Praise the Lord. It's God's will for us to study. It's God's will for us to read His Word. And it's God's will for us to win souls. And I personally think when we don't pray, we're not in God's will. We're not going the direction that we should be going to reach that goal. And when we don't worship, we're not in God's will. And when we don't mortify the deeds of the flesh, we're out of God's will. When we don't study, we're out of God's will. And when we don't witness, we're out of God's will. When we do these things, we're in God's will, and He's drawing us closer and closer to the goal. Therefore, I am in the will of God as long as I am progressing toward that goal. You want to do the will of God? I stumbled across this tract. I really like it. It's Good News Publisher, How to Know the Will of God. The first part of it's not that great, but let me just read the closing statements here as we wind up this message. And by the way, I have a much more in-depth study on the will of God, which considers the Greek words. And if anybody has anything in their minds right now, I might just drop this in your lap. There's more than one root word that the word, English word, will, was taken from. One of those words means desire. It's not his will that any perish. That doesn't mean that he's going to save everybody. That just means that he desires for everybody to be saved. There's another Greek word for will that says determination. His counsel, his will shall stand. If he says he's going to burn the earth, you can count on it. Nothing will change it. Okay? But that would be in another study. But let me just read this in closing. Put this down as an unfailing rule. Never seek the leading of the Lord concerning an act that is forbidden in God's word. To do so is to convict ourselves of insincerity. Again, prophet, psalmist, apostle, and our blessed Lord point out the way of positive obedience. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. So let this be the second rule. Never seek the leading of the Lord concerning an act commanded in the Scriptures. Get it? The first rule? Never seek the leading of the Lord concerning an act that is forbidden in the Bible. The second rule? Never seek the leading of the Lord concerning an act commanded in the Scriptures. He's commanded us to witness. You don't even have to pray about it. Just do it. Now, a happy truth, too often overlooked, I like this, in our anxious search for God's will, is that in the majority of decisions touching our lives, God expresses no choice. I have told this to people over and over. The choice is yours. You choose the Bible school you want to go to if you want to go. Don't feel guilty if you don't go or if you go the wrong one. You choose. You choose the woman you want to marry within the guidelines of Scripture. Praise the Lord. So I like this because, of course I like it because it agrees with what I already taught. The majority of decisions touching our lives, God expresses no choice but allows us to choose our preference. Some Christians walk uncertainly, worrying about which profession they should enter, which car they should drive, which school they should attend, whether they should, where they should live, and other such matters. The Lord has set Christians to follow their own personal bent, guided only by their love for Him and their fellow man. It appears more spiritual to seek God's leading than to do the obvious thing. But it is not. If God gave you a watch, would you honor Him by asking Him for the time of day or by consulting the watch? Except for those things that are specifically commanded or forbidden, it is God's will that we be free to choose. The shepherd leads the sheep, but he does not decide which tuft of grass the sheep shall nibble. Touching our life on earth, God is pleased when we are pleased. He wills that we be as free as birds to soar and sing our Maker's praise without anxiety. God's choice for us may be any one of a score of possible choices. The Christian who is holy and joyously surrendered to Christ cannot make a wrong choice. Praise the Lord. Boy, I like that.
Praise God.
But what about those times when much is at stake and we can discover no clear scriptural instruction and yet are forced to choose between two possible courses? We have God's faithful promise to guide us aright. Here are two among many passages from God's Word. Quote, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. The next one, James, that was James. The next one, Isaiah 48. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Listen to his final statement. Take your problem to the Lord. Remind him of these promises. If you are dedicated to God's purpose, He will not permit you to make a mistake. God bless you. Let's stand.